Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brian Broaddus from Oxnard, California Cowboys camp on the buyersafety.com hotline with Sean Treve. Roy White is in for Choppy. Good morning, Broaddus. Are you ready to come home?
Yeah, I'm ready to roll. We got to go west one more time and get this another preseason game in the books, but looking forward to getting back and having some practices at the Star and kind of getting some guys healthy and get this thing rolling towards the season.
Who is the better player today? If the Super Bowl was today, are you starting Joe Looney or Travis Frederick?
Oh, I'm going to start Travis Frederick today because I'm starting to see improvement in what I've seen with Frederick. I wrote about him yesterday. They finally started using him on some pulling stuff. They started getting him in space a little bit more. I think it's starting to come back to him, the motor skills. I think it really affected this illness affected his ability to play and to play at a high level. Now, nothing against Joe Looney, but I think I could still play with what I'm seeing, I could cut the defense in half with Travis Frederick. I think he's a better second-level player. I think he's a better space player. And the way that they use their offense and the way they like to try and run the 37 and the 38, the off-tackle plays, you need a guy that can kind of play at the second level. And Frederick, even being a little compromised, is a little bit better at being a second-level player.
What's up with these Joe Looney formations?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? I mean, they're using him. Garrett calls him Jumbo Joe. You guys listening to the listens to the press conference every day. But what they're doing is they know that Joe's not going to be the starter, so they're going to use him in different way. They don't have a real blocking tight end other than Jason Witten. They don't have somebody that could really at the point of attack do some good. And so they're having to use Joe Looney in these various formations. And it's funny because yesterday, Joe Looney actually lined up under center at quarterback, which was hilarious. And I think that Kellen Moore was messing with Chris Richard here a little bit. But he came out, and Joe was under quarterback, and then he spread the formation and went to tight end. Dak Prescott came from slot back to quarterback. And then they threw a nice little pass underneath for a good gain. So, yeah, I think that you're going to see Joe Looney. He's a smart guy. They understand. Kellen Moore is being pretty creative with this offense overall, the stuff that we've been able to see at practice, the different looks, trying to get guys the football in space. He's just being, I think he was having a little fun at Chris Richard's expense yesterday.
Brian brought us from Oxnard here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. You wrote on DallasCowboys.com that Alfred Morris has been outstanding in all phases of his game. Let's just say Zeke isn't there for game one, Brian. Tony Pollard, Alfred, carry distribution. What do you think would be a nice split between those two? Because we were having a fun Tony Pollard discussion yesterday, his lack of carries in college. How do you think that could work between the two?
Well, I think they would start Alfred Morris. Coaches tend to go towards the guys that they know. And, that's not trying to, again, not a slam at Pollard. I think Alfred Morris looks better than the first time he was here. And I don't know if it's the slimming number of 23 as opposed to, his 40 number. But, I mean, no, I really do. I mean, Alfred Morris has been really good catching the football. He's actually really good in blitz pickup, which is something you never thought Alfred Morris. Maybe going to San Francisco, they helped him a little bit on that and kind of got him. But his awareness of who to block, how to wash guys out, I think has really improved since the first time. And he still has that ability to slash with the ball in his hands. And I think that's something that the coaches, as they look at their offense, as they look at their attack, they'll go with the guy that they know. And I think that's who would start against the Giants. So if that's the case, then they'll find ways to get the ball, though, to Pollard. They'll bring him in. You know, they've got some ideas of how they want to use him. He's a guy, again, that can run the 37 and 38. It's a big base play of theirs, running off tackle. And so, you know, he's got that ability to cut and slash, much like we've talked about with Alfred Morse. But I think he catches the ball better. But I also don't think he pass blocks as well. He tries. He understands who to block. But he's a little bit of a liability. There's so much of a liability that they've even put Jermaine Olawale in the backfield at times in case they have to go with a guy that they know, okay, it's a throwing down. We've got to find a way to blitz pick up. And so I think, you know, that's the kind of the things that they're going to look at. But as far as the distribution, you'll probably see it would probably more like 3-1, I'd have to say, if you were talking about who they would hand the ball to more, and then, you know, and then they would try and find a way, okay, how do we get the ball in Pollard's hands more in other ways that on the outside in space, say it's screens, you know, slot plays, outside plays for him to run.
For the first time in consecutive practices, Brett Maher goes 6 for 6 again. I was uneasy along with you last week. Do you feel more comfortable with the Maher kicking situation right now after the week he's had?
They don't have very much of a choice, you know, and I talked to some people about this.
What's wrong with Matt Bryant, Broadus?
He's my age, and he wears a heating pad on his back in between kicks. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, but
he'll sit on the sidelines and wear a heating pad. No, I understand.
His numbers were fine last year.
No, that's fine. I understand. They're you know, and it might come to that. I'm just telling you what, you know, they're looking at. Does Matt Bryant kick off?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Right.
If Matt Bryant, you know, they're fighting roster spots right now as it is, Sean, and you want to add a 54th guy to kick off? I mean, I'm not busting on you. If you told me Matt Bryant could kick off, then it's a little bit different story. But, you know, but let me get back to, I talked to Keith O'Quinn for a long time. I'm like, listen, Keith, you know, I've been in this business. I know how this is working. I didn't really evaluate kickers very much because we had Steve Hoffman, who could go down to the Walmart and find 10 guys working there, and then he'd find an all-pro out of that group. Hmm. Hoffman was incredible. We never evaluated kickers during my tenure here because Hoffman did it all. But they're not going to work out a bunch of kickers here in front of the media. They're just not going to do it. You know, O'Quinn told me, he said, listen, I got to keep this kid's confidence up. I've got to give him every kick. I can't give Redfern any more kicks. I've got to find a way just to let him kick, let him get confidence. If he's making them, great. If he doesn't, you know, I'm in constant contact with Will McClay. I understand what's going on here. I understand what people are thinking, you know. And, you know, the concern I have about this is they run drills where they have, okay, it's called play it out, and they run a two-minute drill, and Dak Prescott brings them all the way down the field. They got 4 seconds left, and it's a 32-yard field goal to win the game, and he misses. So what's the part of the drill right there where you're going, wait a minute, we're doing the drill completely right except the finish of the drill. You know, if he wasn't missing 35 and 32 yard field goals is not good. Let's be honest. You know, and you know, but Keith O'Quinn understands what's going on here. He's in contact with Will. I bet you they have some type of a kicking derby in Dallas at the Star or Frisco just to kind of get an idea of an emergency list, if in case they have to go that direction.
That's great insight right there. Thank you.
Brian Broaddus joining us from Oxnard Cowboys wrap-up camp.
Well, you called me, right, Sean?
Yes.
And then head to Hawaii for their game on Saturday. I wanted to ask you, Brian, it seems like just off the top of my head, I can name 10 guys that are either sitting out practice or dealing with some type of injury. Some of them are going to lead all the way up into week one. So how will the Cowboys treat this second game relative to how they played it last year? Obviously, game two was Dak's dress rehearsal game a season ago, but they might not want to treat it that way if they think some of these players are going to be back by the third preseason game. So how do you think they're going to play it on Saturday?
Yeah, Roy, that's a really good question, because I initially thought with the way the schedule fell that if they had a healthy team, this would be the dress rehearsal game. And they don't have a healthy team, and that's going to compromise what we just talked about here. So, yeah, a lot of guys who want to practice and play are going back to Dallas. Either they've already left or they're leaving today, you know, to head back to get treatment. You know, guys like Zach Martin, people like that, you know, the guys that aren't going to play. So, yeah, they're compromised here. And, because, like I say, the schedule was allowing them to, okay, we get back Sunday morning, we get Sunday off, we get Monday off, and then you come back Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, have a practice, and you have a Saturday game. I thought, well, okay, they're going to knock this thing out and go ahead and get it out of the way. And then because of the travel, you know, the 9 hours after the game or 7 hours after the game, however long we're traveling. But, yeah, you know, it would have made a lot of sense to do it this way. And, you know, against the Ram team, that, you know, let's be honest, the Rams, I watched them on tape against the Raiders. They're not playing anybody, you know, and so it's going to be a pretty good matchup of two guys, two teams kind of not playing each other. But, you know, yeah, if all things were healthy, I think that they would do what we were asked to do. But because they're not healthy, then we're going to just see them try and get through this game and get home.
Staying on that injury front, Brian, I mentioned I could name about 10 guys. Just, you know, Tank,
yeah.
Byron, Tyrone, Martin, Lee, Amari, McGovern, Jarwin, Schultz. But Jason is telling us none of these injuries are going to be a problem come week one. Is there any injury that you're keeping an eye on as being potentially concerned that they could miss the first week of the season?
Well, you know, we haven't seen Byron Jones practice. You know, that's one of those ones where we kind of felt like that, you know, with, even though I get to watch him every day at the Star, you know, when he was working at the training camp, you know, I mean, I haven't honestly paid attention to him much here because I'm watching so many other things. But I know at the Star he was working in the right direction. I think there was a little bit of concern about Byron Jones. I think everybody else is kind of in that mode of, yeah, we're going to be okay. They, you know, knock on wood, they haven't sustained any significant things where it's, you know, months and weeks and stuff. I mean, all the injuries that they had to get fixed, they got fixed. The timetable's been pretty good. I've been watching Crawford. Those guys, kind of Crawford and Lawrence, work out in front of me every once in a while, so I've kind of seen the movement there. That looks okay. So, yeah, I think the Byron Jones one has the most concern for me. But these cornerbacks have been some of the best in camp. If you look at what Awuzie, Lewis, and Brown have been able to do, I mean, it kind of gives you a little bit of a thought that, you know what, if they had to play a game or so without a Byron Jones, I feel like that they would be okay there. So that would be the only one that gives me any real, real pause right now.
Who has had the better run as of late between Taco and it seems like we're doing – carousel with wide receivers, Taco or Devin Smith as of late?
Well, Devin Smith got called out yesterday for what they call compete period, and that's the one-on-one in front of the whole team and everybody standing there. So he got jammed up a little bit by Anthony Brown, and it was kind of like one of those things. Now, I will say this about Devin Smith. Devin Smith ran a route yesterday where he got tangled up on the outside and he came up limping. And the Devin Smith of old, I bet, would have walked off the field and not returned to practice. But Devin Smith walked right back in the huddle, ran another play, looked compromised doing it. But then, you know, he just kept practicing. And I think Devin Smith realized, like, listen, injury has killed my opportunities before. I'm not going to let this happen again. I think Devin Smith has done really a really nice job with coming into camp and not being a guy that we talked about much in the OTAs and mini camps at all. He's given himself a chance. You know, I think they're down to one spot at that wide receiver, depending on how many you keep. I think they're going to keep six, but I think he's fighting for some guys for that final spot, and I think that's a credit to him to being able to do that, to fight his way in. Now, I'll say this about Taco, you know, and I'm not doing this to try and be nice to Will McClay or anybody else, but I think I have seen improvement with him. I mean, there was a time where every snap you closed your eyes and thought, he's not going to win. He's not going to win. He's finding a way to win, and he's finding a way to win more often. And he's not just going to the spin move to try and win. They figured out when he spins, he goes right down the middle and he gets blocked. So he's trying to figure out ways to kind of free himself up. And he has. You know, he's won some from Tyron Smith. He's won a lot from Cam Fleming. You know, he's doing the right things. Now, whether that carries over, let's see. But at least it's not one of those things where you're thinking like, well, this is a complete bust. Now, he might still be a bust, but at least he's doing some things that are going in the right direction.
Can you tell right now or not if this is a really good or potentially great football team? Have you watched enough?
Not really.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't. Because nobody's practicing. That's the problem. Because, the OTAs gave me a lot of hope. I love what I've seen with Randall Cobb. You know, I love what I've seen. I'll tell you who's really getting better is Michael Gallup.
Yeah.
Michael Gallup is you know, you watch Michael Gallup run routes now, and if you tell me that you got Amari Cooper running really good routes and Michael Gallup running routes, and then you got Randall Cobb kind of working the middle of the field and Jason Witten working the middle of the field, and I could get my running back back, you know, offensively, I'm liking what I'm seeing. Now, defensively, this secondary has made it really hard on Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott doesn't have a lot of open throws. David Hellman had a little clip yesterday on a two-point play that they tried to throw for the win, and Prescott was not even close. And I think a lot of it had to do because the coverage was so good. So, yeah, I think defensively they've got a shot. They've got a pretty good rotation with their inside, with their tackles. We haven't seen how much pressure they can generate on the outside because of no defensive ends. But I think injuries compromised how the team totally looks. But it kind of, you know, when the team was healthy in OTAs, it looked like it had a chance to be pretty good.
Thanks for waking up with us again, brother. Have a great trip. We'll be following.
Appreciate you guys. Take care now.
The Beast, Brian Broaddus, DallasCowboys.com, BuyerSafety.com, hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.